welcome to another episode of Gopher Gridiron Radio. I'm Luke Buer.
And I am GopherIllustrated.com publisher Ryan Burns. And we welcome you guys back to one of the favorite rivalries for your Minnesota Golden Gophers as the Little Brown Jug is up for grabs once again. It's been a few years, Luke, since the Little Brown Jug has made its way back here to Dinkytown. But I'm going to tell you right now, I already got flashbacks to the Matt Limegrover,
I know.
Everyone thinks they got the go-ahead touchdown.
What?
Ruled down at the one. No one tells Matt Limegrover and the offensive staff to not run a play with 17 shifts in a motion. The head coach, and I believe it had to have been Jerry Kill, doesn't realize the clock is running.
I think it was
pointing at the clock. Just a missed opportunity early in Harbaugh's tenure. And now in year nine, Luke, we're going to be talking about a Michigan team today, ranked number two in the country. And I'll say this plenty of times throughout this podcast. I'm not sure anybody who's going to want to hear it, but this might be the best team, most complete team, most talented team, and arguably the hottest team all together in one that PJ Fleck has faced in his time as the Minnesota Golden Gopher head coach.
Yes, I have those flashbacks. The anthracite jerseys right around the Halloween time frame. So, that roller coaster of emotions. I actually think that was one of the first games of the Tracy Clay's era. But oh my goodness, what a roller coaster! Thanks for bringing that up. Now I'm not even sure I want to do this episode.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, where were you back in Metrodome 2003, Glenn Mason?
Oh man, I was like a sophomore in high school, I think, and I walked over to my buddy's place who lived close to our high school football stadium. I think it was like one of the MEA games. So I wasn't dressing for varsity that year. I might've been a freshman. I'm not entirely sure, but we walked over cause they said over the PA announcer, like, here's the Gopher score. So we walked over at halftime cause that game was out of hand and we watched the debacle to the end. Oh, Ryan, please just stop. You're just hurting me.
I mean, I can bring back the thoughts of David Cobb in the Big House. I think that was 2014.
Yeah, DeAndre Campbell had the pick six. DeAndre Campbell. Good. Oh, let's just continue with the bit that I can't read or pronounce names. DeAndre Campbell, great play by him. What was the safety's name? Cedric Thompson, I think, had a really good game that game too. I'm trying to remember some names, but that was a fun outing, and it was fun to beat them. I think it was during the Brady Hoke era. Yeah.
Yeah, it was. And now, and I believe it is year nine of Jim Harbaugh. I'm telling you, this Michigan team is really, really good.
Yeah.
If you just want to come, I mean, 6:30 p.m. kickoff, Saturday night, under the lights, NBC, with a beautiful cold front rolling in this upcoming weekend, which we'll get to in your when we talk about the weather a little bit later. But a balmy, I think, it's probably going to be around 50. When the ball is eventually kicked. So if you've been waiting to break out the sweater, it's officially sweater season, Luke.
Yeah, so what we should talk about too, Ryan, is this is probably one of the most talked about games on your message board all offseason. You know, you have a thread there where people kind of inch tickets and parking passes and all that. I frequent that, pretty often, actually, relative to most of the threads there. And I would say
it's funny to me that you will read the ticket thread exponentially more often than you'll ever read me. Heck, it's even a challenge for you to even listen to me at times on this podcast, Luke Buer.
Yeah, it's true. We have had to record parts because I say exactly what you just said. But that's true. But this game, though, on your message board has been one of the most frequent topics. I think the tailgating lots will be bumping, and it should be a pretty fun atmosphere pregame and postgame, regardless of the outcome.
It should be. And with the 6:30 p.m. kick, for those of you going to the game, tailgates open at 12:30. If you want to, I would imagine you're going to head to Top 10 Liquors there in Dinkytown. You get yourself some Duck Duck beer. And which I believe is now officially official. We'll see when Dinkytown Athletes puts out a graphic. But if you're a vodka connoisseur, Like myself, the only reason I got through college was screwdrivers, believe it or not. I mean, Luke, I'm telling you, I could screwdrivers and myself and at the University of Minnesota there. Boy, I could make them strong because that orange juice can cut them things. But instead of, say, buying your favorite vodka, say Tito's, buy Grey Duck Vodka, because a portion of those, every sale of Grey Duck Vodka from here on out, a portion of that goes to Dinkytown Athletes as well. So if you're trying to figure out how can I make the biggest amount of impact, because that's one of the questions that Luke and I have gotten quite a bit, especially now that Dinkytown Athletes is working with Grey Duck Brewing, what can I do to help? Well, if you're already going to drink a light beer, go buy Duck Duck Beer at Top 10 Liquor. They're working on distribution to your favorite liquor store today. Again, just go into your liquor store. They already work with Grey Duck Brewing, one of the biggest distributors in the state of Minnesota. Just ask for it. They'll get it there in the next week or two. But I can assure you, Luke, at that liquor store, they already in stock, if you're already going to be drinking vodka, they have Grey Duck Vodka. So yeah, instead of buying, say, Tito's, go for the Grey Duck, because proceeds from that, each one of those sales goes to Dinkytown Athletes as well.
Find those Dinkytown Athletes fan pack seltzers as well. They've got a variety. And maybe more importantly, you're not only supporting Dinkytown Athletes, but you're supporting a local company, one here in the state of Minnesota. And more importantly, just keep that money here. Don't send it down to Texas and to these other places that make vodka. Keep that money here. We're one Minnesota together. So awesome that they're going to be a great partner. And they've really stepped up, Ryan. That's the best thing. You know, we hear so much about, you know, why don't companies step up? Well, one did. So let's put some support behind it, and obviously support Dinkytown Athletes in the process. And like we said, I mean, you got to get a plan for your tailgate. So it's going to be fun to see lots of Grey Duck products in the tailgate lots from here on forth.
Correct. So lots open at 12:30. Game is at 6:30. I would imagine the kick somewhere around 6:38 or so on NBC for those of you who don't want to go to the game. But it should be a pretty good atmosphere. I believe there's only a couple hundred tickets left on the website. I think this game will sell out here probably in the next day or so, and then you'll have to go to the secondhand market to be able to get it. Now, I would imagine there's going to be Michigan fans here, but this is a marquee game. You get the number two team in the country coming into Huntington Bank Stadium, and I'll say this. I mean, I'm going to say a lot of good things about Michigan on this podcast tonight, but we have seen recent history, Luke, when a top five team or a top 10 team comes into Huntington Bank Stadium. I think of 2021 Ohio State. Minnesota hangs with them all the way up until Mo Ibrahim has his tragic injury. And then 2019 Penn State, Minnesota is obviously able to pull that one out. So if you're thinking to yourself, I'm looking at the Vegas line for this game, Minnesota's not going to be competitive, I would say, yes, they haven't put together a full 60 minutes at any point through the first five games of the season, Luke, but history would say when top 10 opponents have come into Huntington Bank Stadium of late, Minnesota gives them at least a fight.
Yeah, it should be fun. And obviously we'll get and probably talk about the LeBron drug a little bit more in our facts and figures section. But you know, it's always fun to play for a trophy, and more importantly, a trophy with long history, etc. So let's talk about, Ryan, the Gophers injury status. Obviously we're monitoring Cody Lindenberg, Darius Taylor. I mean, there are others as well, but any update that you can provide there and maybe what we can expect, when we get that status report about 2 hours before the game.
I think it's funny, for the casual fans who are always looking for an injury report, and I get it. And I understand that myself is one of the handful of people that's actually plugged in to Gopher football. But we ask every Monday when we get the head coach for an injury update. And he went as far as to say, not verbatim, I'll paraphrase, but he goes, I appreciate you guys continuing to ask, but I'm going to continue to tell you, I'm not going to tell you anything. And you're just going to find out 2 hours before the game. Because we were just asking for an update on, say, Lemeke Brockington, who gets rolled up on by Zach Evans. Just happens to be that's what happened on the play. He's blocking downfield. Evans gets pushed into him, and it doesn't look good. Now, I haven't heard good things about that. I don't anticipate, I'll say this, seeing Lemeke Brockington play again this year, which is unfortunate. I think he had been playing better and better as the season had gone on. which is why you had seen his snap count rise as much as it had been. But I don't anticipate seeing Lamecki Brockington in this game, which leads us into a Darius Taylor discussion, Luke. So here's what I'm going to pose to you first. When Fleck gave an injury update after the game, which, again, Fleck is so hit and miss with what he wants to share and what he doesn't want to. He said after the game, Luke, and I want to ask you, do you believe it or not believe it, that Darius Taylor did not practice at any point last week?
I probably don't believe it, just because I'm not sure Fleck is quite honest with any injury take. So,
yeah, that's where I think there's a little bit of truth. But from what I've been told, Taylor was at least out there to an extent last week. No, I don't disagree that he didn't go full go. But if you believe the head coach, Luke, say 100%, Darius Taylor at no point last week practiced significantly. What? Yeah. Would lead us to believe that he's going to go from do not practice, or and didn't practice last week to he's somehow going to be able to go in this game.
I think
after he didn't go, like, I would imagine for something like this injury, which I'm going to guess is calf, ankle, something like that, from what I saw on that injury play and from what I've, I guess, talked around to different people about, do you think that Darius Taylor makes a return this week?
No, especially knowing that you've got a bye coming up next week, right? Yeah. And then you've got a critical stretch coming, and especially against Big Ten West foes. So, no, absolutely not. I don't think he plays.
I think Minnesota is going to do everything in their possible power to get Darius Taylor ready to play in this game, but it's not ultimately up to them. It's up to the training staff, which are there some disagreements at times between the coaches and the training staff potentially? I don't know. I'll leave that for your interpretation, but ultimately the training staff is they're the ones that get the final say. And especially as Luke said, with a bye week coming up for Minnesota after this game before Iowa, I wonder if they're going to lean conservative, as many things in this Gopher football program do, with an injury decision. Now, Chris Ottman-Bell goes from questionable to out last game, Luke, which I don't know that I saw anything happen at Northwestern other than just Chris Ottman-Bell. I just don't know how much he has left in the gas tank at this point, but
sure.
I'm going to imagine he doesn't play in this game. Now, he hasn't caught a ball yet this year, so I don't know how much of an impact it's truly going to be, but they'll probably try to get him ready after the bye. I will just believe it when I see it that Cody Lindenberg plays, which sucks because he's Minnesota's best linebacker.
Yeah.
And seemingly he was close for North Carolina, but the only tangible information that I have seen with my own two eyes is that he has not warmed up before Northwestern, and he did not warm up prior to the last game against Louisiana, which tells me either that's a big coincidence or there was a setback, which that sucks for him. So I would imagine Cody Lindenberg does not return for this game, especially with a bye week next week, trying to get him ready for his first significant action against Iowa. So I think, to me, of all the names we've talked about, I would say I guess I'm the most optimistic on a Darius Taylor potentially returning. But even with Darius Taylor, it is going to be a significant challenge for this Minnesota offense to move the ball consistently and also score points.
Yeah, the injury situation is a bummer, and like you said, the fact that Lindenberg can't go has hurt this defense a lot. Someone that you were expecting to play such an important role into this season, and knew how excited he was to get into this. You know, we had a chance to talk to him on a previous episode previewing the season. You can go back and check that. It's literally called Cody Lindenberg, but also, like, I had a chance to chat with him at one of the Dinky Town Athletes member barbecues, and, you know, he was just amped to go, and just a bummer that he hasn't been able to go yet. I hope, you know, coming after the bye, maybe he can come back, but yeah, that's a guy you sorely miss. Any other injuries that we should touch base on, Ryan? Anybody else? I know, you know, we've got a few guys that are out. You touched on Brockington. We obviously know about Darnell Jeffries, etc., but anyone else that you're monitoring closely?
I will say this. People were confused. I got the question a few times. Darnell Jeffries was listed as out the first few weeks, then out, and then just out season, and then not listed last week. And some people were a little bit confused by that, asking me, is Darnell Jeffries healthy now? No, Darnell Jeffries tore his ACL in fall camp, and he's not going to play at any point this year. Why was he taken off the injury report? Just I'm not the one in charge of that. I guess maybe they're just not going to list players who are out for the season on it now. Again, I don't know the thought process of who goes on it, who doesn't. But, I mean, without Lamecki Brockington and without Chris Ottman Bell for this game, I would imagine your three wide receiver set is going to be Daniel Jackson, Corey Crooms, and then everybody's favorite transfer receiver from the University of Charlotte, and Elijah Spencer. So I would imagine he is going to be the guy that gets the most uptick in snaps, just like he did last week once Brockington left. But it's very interesting now, Luke, because any depth that Minnesota really had at receiver is now gone with this Brockington injury.
Yeah.
So that leaves open for interpretation who would be the next guy to get playing time. Would it be Kenrick Lanier, the true freshman? Would it be redshirt freshman Christian Hoskins? Would it be Ethan Kaliak-Manis's brother, Dino Kaliak-Manis? I'm not exactly sure. I mean, I really don't want to find out the answer to that because I want all three of those guys to stay healthy, but certainly something worth noting here heading into game six.
All right, let's get into a break before we talk about when the Gophers are on offense. Ryan, again, we are jazzed to have Home Field Apparel sponsoring Gopher Gridiron Radio for the 2023 season. We often talk about all of the great gear they have for the University of Minnesota, the gear that they have licensed. They have sweatshirts, t-shirts, tank tops, sweatpants. Man, they've got it all, right? They additionally have other universities that they've licensed gear from. So they have Michigan gear, etc., all available at homefieldapparel.com.
And that's where, if you're a Gopher fan, go check it out. It's unique stuff that you won't see anywhere else. You won't see it at Goldie's Locker Room. The most comfortable gear we will swear by. And if you don't believe us, ask our wives, because we never get to wear the gear because they wear it. They think it's so comfortable, they wear it to bed, or at least my wife does. Or even if you're not, you don't want Minnesota gear, but you got a brother who's a big Syracuse fan. Well, I'm staring at the Syracuse stuff because I got a lot of family that are big Syracuse fans. It's unique apparel that you're not going to find anywhere else. It's stuff that if you're wearing it, somebody's going to stop you and say, hey, where did you get that? And you're going to say, I went to homefieldapparel.com. And at promo at checkout, I use the promo code GG23 at checkout to save 15% off your first order. So go to homefieldapparel.com. Great, great apparel everywhere, whether it's Minnesota or other related. And at checkout, get 15% off your first order with promo code GG23.
All right, let's talk about when the Gophers are on offense, Ryan. Coming into this game, Minnesota is averaging 342 yards of total offense, 149 through the air, and 193 on the ground. Conversely, Michigan is averaging 245 yards of total yards total that they've allowed, 160 of those through the air and 85 on the ground. Ryan, I think you know where we're going with this. That doesn't result in a lot of points. On the season, Michigan has given up 7 points is the most they've given up in an entire game. 7 against Nebraska, 7 against Rutgers, 6 against Bowling Green, 7 against UNLV, and Eastern Carolina, only 3. So I think that the challenge is to, one, score more points than any of those teams. And then the second is to try and win, Ryan. Obviously, winning is always the name of the game, but your secondary goal is to be able to score the most points on the Michigan defense all season. So obviously Michigan's defense is a stalwart. They aren't allowing anybody to have any seemingly running game. So what are the Gophers going to do here on offense?
That's a great question. First thing I would say, what is Minnesota going to do on offense? Hopefully not run inside, mid, and outside zone 3 times and then punt the ball away. Because I just have peace and love. If you are the parent or relative or a friend of somebody on the Minnesota Moving Company up front, outside of, I would say, Ursary and maybe Quinn Carroll in the run game, I don't have a lot of faith that Minnesota is going to be able to open holes for Zach Evans or Bryce Williams or Sean Tyler or Darius Taylor, whoever it may be. because this Michigan defense is, you heard all the stats that Luke just put out there. They're really good. And turns out one of my keys to the game, Luke, for Minnesota's offense is going to be efficient, explosive, and just throw the damn kitchen sink at them. Because you're just going to have to try and get them out of sorts. Because if you just line up 11 on 11, Michigan's 11 is better than your 11. And if you're a Gopher fan, don't be upset about that. Well, Ryan, it's year seven. PJ should. Minnesota's got good players. Michigan has an absurd amount of talent that is experienced, that is highly touted. It's why when we talked in our preview edition for this season, Luke, why I picked Michigan to win the Big Ten, win the Big Ten East. I think Michigan is a legitimate playoff contender to win a game, if not the national title, and they have played like that. Now, I understand that the flip side of that would be, Luke, well, Michigan hasn't played anybody, especially offensively. I don't disagree. Nebraska's offense is absolutely broken. Kirk Shiroka couldn't do anything outside of a 75-yard slant to start the game. But it's going to be difficult for Minnesota to score points. Now, Minnesota's scored a lot of points the last couple of weeks. When you look at 34 against Northwestern, you look at 35 last week, Minnesota's offense can do it, but it comes down to Ethan Kaliak-Manis for me, Luke. We saw in that North Carolina game that Harbaugh dialed up shots that were open, and the young quarterback just didn't hit them. And Minnesota didn't score enough points, and Minnesota got blown out. Well, if Minnesota's going to have a shot to pull an upset against the number two team in the country at home, Ethan Kaliak-Manis is going to have the game of his young life so far. Is he capable of doing that with his talent? Certainly is, but you've seen how much they've taken off his plate the last couple of weeks since that North Carolina game. Well, it's time to put a little bit more mashed potatoes on that plate for this one, because he's going to have to be dialed in as you've ever seen if Minnesota's going to have a chance to generate these plays that are going to put them against what is just an absurd defense so far.
Yeah, you know, just some advanced stats that stick out to me, Ryan, for this defense. Not surprising given the number of points they've given up. They have the best net points per drive at 0.42 points per game in the entire country. You know, when they're on defense additionally, like they're top 20 in EPA per pass and EPA per rush. You know, they're really good against early downs, and they're elite against third and fourth down success rate. You know, it's, you just can't find yourself in third and long against this defense. You're not going to find success. There's just nothing.
You're second and third and long in this game.
Yeah.
It's going to be a long game.
Yeah. It's going to come down to explosive plays. You might end up with a negative expected points added. But if you can find enough explosive plays in this game, that really seems to be the only formula, right? You know, we saw that even last week against Louisiana. You know, they weren't able to generate, you know, sustained success throughout the game, but their explosive plays is really what kept them in it, right? And I think that's really the only formula here. Now, we both know that the Gophers haven't done that traditionally. You can look back even to, for instance, the Ohio State game where Mo Ibrahim ended up tearing his Achilles. They were able to hang with, but you know, they were able to manufacture some explosive plays, whether it was to Daylon Wright or others, right? They need that, and they are just going to have it. And I think your analogy of throwing the kitchen sink is exactly it. That's just what you got to do. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You have to be able to take risks. And frankly, who cares if you lose by 30 or 3, right? Just give it all you got and see what you have against a powerhouse. It, you know, PJ talks about this as, you know, a very opportunistic schedule. Here's your first opportunity to shock the world. Because frankly, if you win, that's what it's going to be. You're going to have shocked the college football world.
100%. And so that's where I hope that the game plan this week offensively is try and do things that you normally don't do. Try to have a quick passing game going. I know that the quarterback has only thrown the ball 33 times in the last two games combined. He's going to have to throw it over 30 times in this game if Minnesota's number one going to win or just stay competitive. So it's going to have to be, especially, I will say it again, if you just line up 11 on 11, Michigan will beat arguably any team in the country. That's how talented they are on this version of their 2023 team. It's not hyperbole to me. I truly believe that. So it's not just Minnesota's not talented enough. Michigan's arguably more talented than probably a couple schools in the country right now. So you're going to have to get creative. Maybe a flea flicker, maybe just some different type of designs that Michigan hasn't seen, because especially with the way that the tight ends continue to struggle in run blocking and trying to make plays in the passing game, I just have a very hard time believing Minnesota is going to line up 11 on 11, be able to run the ball effectively. And the last spot you want to be against this defense is getting behind the sticks.
Yeah, you just absolutely can't end up in a negative game script. You likely are going to, but you got to find ways to generate explosive plays and get out of that script and hang tight and just give your chance in the fourth quarter. All right, Ryan, my wife is about to board a plane back here to the United States. I asked her if she's got her headphones charged, her earbuds charged, and she said yes. And most importantly, she was going to be wearing her Comply foam ear tips on her AirPods because she thinks that, one, they're the most comfortable, they're not bulky, and you know, just a pain like normal over-the-air headphones. And the most important thing is it provides noise isolation on an airplane, but it also allows her, you know, to have just an awesome listening experience. And it's just the most comfortable they can get when it comes to earbud tips.
So whether you're traveling or whether you're going to the airport or whether you're thinking to yourself, well, I'm going to have my earbuds in this weekend as I'm starting to rake, starting to do stuff along the yard. Let me ask you this. Be cognizant the next time you do that with those silicone tips in your ears. Are you constantly adjusting them, pushing them into your ear? Are they causing you pain if you put them in long enough? Then make the switch today to Comply Foam Memory Foam Ear Tips. It's a local company, Oakdale, Minnesota. You'd be supporting a local business that is trying to support, obviously, this Gopher podcast. I have them for my Beats Pro. Luke has them for his AirPods. There's plenty of other different varieties, whatever brand that you have, but we cannot recommend them enough. It has saved my ears. I no longer have pain. I'm no longer constantly adjusting. I don't have to keep pushing them into my ear. I actually enjoy wearing these earbuds that I've invested so much into. So go to complyfoam.com, get these memory foam tips today, and save 20% off your first order, or just order in general, with promo code GG23 at checkout. Complyfoam.com, a local company, and at checkout, remember to use the promo code GG23.
All right, let's talk about when the Gophers are in defense, Ryan. We already kind of lauded the praises of Michigan's defense, but more praise to heap on them here when they have their offense. So on the season, Michigan is averaging 411 yards of total offense, 227 yards through the air, and 184 on the ground. Minnesota, conversely, is giving up 361 yards of total offense, 234 through the air, and 127 on the ground, Ryan.
As good as the Michigan defense is, the Michigan offense has been just as good. I look at their PFF overall grades as an offense. Luke, they don't have a game graded below 82.7.
Jeez.
It's absurd. And for those of you who don't know Pro Football Focus grades, a dead average grade is 60.0. They have all five of their games are in the 80s and they have one in the 90s. So they've been outstanding, if not elite, on offense in every single one of their games. Now, I understand that you could make the argument the only good defense they have played is that Rutgers defense, which they got at home, that Nebraska defense.
That is a good defense, though, the Rutgers defense. It seems both of those are good, but yeah.
Correct. Minnesota East over there with Joe Harris-Simiak on that defensive side of the ball, it's got them playing well. But why has Michigan kind of taken it to a little bit of a different level offensively? Because they're young, well, not even necessarily that young anymore. J.J. McCarthy has been outstanding. Last year, inconsistent at times, beats out Cade McNamara, which puts him in a transfer to Iowa, and we'll get to Iowa a little bit later. But J.J. McCarthy last year, to me, Luke, really struggled on the deep passes. J.J. McCarthy, as we currently sit here in time, is number one in college football, if you like ESPN's QBR stat. Well, he's number one there. Of all the Big Ten quarterbacks, he's got the number one overall Pro Football Focus grade, and he's got the number one quarterback grade for passing. So he's arguably been the best quarterback in the Big Ten, which, especially in the East, you've got the mammoths of Drew Aller and Taulia Tagovailoa from Maryland. JJ's been a little bit better than them and one of the best quarterbacks in college football. Oh, by the way, how's their running game, Ryan? Well, Luke, I'm glad you asked, because they got the back-to-back Joe Moore award-winning offensive line unit, which, right, if you've never heard of the Joe Moore Award, I don't blame you. It's a very nuanced college football award. It is given out to the best offensive line unit in college football. So in 2021, Michigan won it, and in 2022, Michigan won it. Now, I wouldn't say that they've been at that level so far this year, but they've still been really good. And they've arguably got the best 1-2 tandem in the Big Ten. And former Heisman finalist Blake Corum from last year and Donovan Edwards is also pretty damn good. So how do you try and figure out how to stop them, especially when they got a guy by the name of Roman Wilson leading the entire country in receiving touchdowns? It is going to be an absolute challenge for them, because this isn't necessarily an offense that's going to go four plays, 75 yards, although they can, especially if Roman Wilson or Blake Corum or Donovan Edwards get space and green, they can certainly house it. It's essentially just death by a thousand cuts. They're a team that loves to run the football. I know Luke brought this up to me in the pre-production meeting, but if you look at their run rate over expectation, they're 78th in the country in that regard. What does that mean? They run the ball more than average, probably when they don't need to. And conversely, Minnesota in that same stat is 118th in the country. So Minnesota does it a lot more frequently, but they want to lean on Blake Corum. They want to lean on Donovan Edwards. They want to lean on that offensive line that's been historically really good, which opens up the play action passing game, especially in the red zone. I mean, to me, Luke, if Minnesota's going to have a shot, and if you're trying to tell yourself that Minnesota's got a shot in this game, which they certainly do, it's why you play the games. To me, it comes down to Minnesota's red zone defense. You have to be able to only allow field goals and not touchdowns. Touchdowns lose you this game for Minnesota's defense, obviously. But if you can only, say, when Michigan gets four red zone possessions in this game, if you can hold them to field goals on at least two of them, if not three or four, you're going to give your offense a little bit more leeway going against that Jesse Minter defense. So to me, Luke, that's what it comes down to, is we've seen Minnesota do a pretty good job at stopping the run overall this year. We've seen them have lapses in the passing game, which gives me a little bit of hesitancy with Roman Wilson and J.J. McCarthy and how well he's been playing overall this year. But it's got to be Minnesota being that Tracy Clays or historic Joe Rossi bend but don't break red zone defense. If you only can allow field goals, you're going to keep yourself in this thing for most of the night. You're going to keep the crowd in it for most of the night. But if you continue to give up explosive play touchdowns or just touchdowns in the red zone in general, it might be over early.
Yeah. And one thing I want to highlight just from an advanced stat perspective, I'm glad you brought up the run rate over expectation. That is important to note. But you know, when they do run the ball more often than they need to, their Echol ratio, which is, you know, the measure of a quality possession and opportunity creation, they're number two in the country. When they get the ball, they are creating opportunities to score. They're rarely going three and out. They're very efficient when they have the ball. They might possess it for a long time. They might run the ball a bunch of times, but they'll eventually get into a position to score. So you have to find a way to get them off the field of third downs. I think the offense that they run is exactly what PJ Fleck wants to see at Minnesota. He maybe is even a little bit more risk averse than Jim Harbaugh, but more importantly, just the approach of time possession and more importantly, being able to run the ball at will has to have him just basically in total jealousy, Ryan.
Yes, I'm sure he's very envious of what Michigan and Jim Harbaugh are able to do. But that's what it, I mean, when you have the back-to-back Joe Moore winning offensive line that brings physicality, athleticism, length, you're able to do that, especially when you have two really, really talented backs who are likely going to be NFL draft picks in Blake Corum and Donovan Edwards. Plus, you put that together with a top 50 overall recruit in the country in J.J. McCarthy, who has taken a step forward this year. I mean, this is exactly what I thought Michigan would look like, but I also think they've even exceeded my expectations so far this season. Now, again, I'm well aware that their competition, they've played a cakewalk schedule, but you only can play what your schedule is. Like, I feel like we're talking about Minnesota from a couple of years ago, and you look at after Minnesota this weekend for Michigan, they get to face Luke Buehr's favorite team to follow in college football, the Indiana Tom Allen Hoosiers. They then have to take on their in-state rival in Michigan State, which Michigan State's not any good and in a lot of turmoil. They get a bye week to prepare for Purdue. And then they get to end the season with three really good competition games where they've got to travel to Happy Valley. They have to travel to Maryland to take on what is now a 5-0 Maryland team before ending the season with Ohio State. So, I mean, we're going to find out a lot more about Michigan in November, but I'm going to tell you, as they currently sit here coming into this game, they are white hot and they're executing at a high level on offense and defense.
Once again, Ryan, it's a good time to be thinking about maybe changing your insurance. You know, we're here in October now. The end of the year is approaching. You know, it's time to maybe start talking to Bill and his team and trying to see if they can save you money on, you know, your home, maybe your boat, maybe your car, maybe your UTV, whatever. He obviously has saved numerous customers money, so why not give him a call today?
100%. I'm looking at a picture of him holding a giant check with one of his clients. Again, they look like mom and pop. They look like your parents. They look like me and Luke. I mean, Luke's a lot more handsome than I am, but they're normal people, and he's saving them thousands of dollars when he's switching them to the Burns Insurance Agency, an independent insurance agency that pits you against 20 different insurance companies to get you the best coverage at the best price today. So you think, man, I really could use some extra money here. With the holidays coming up, whatever it may be, I'm paying too much for my car. I'm paying too much for the cabin. I'm paying too much for your commercial property with this insurance. Give him a call today. Go to insurancebyburns.com. Email him at bill@insurancebyburns.com and let him figure out how he can save you the most money with the holidays coming up here. Insurancebyburns.com.
All right, let's get to some facts and figures for this game, Ryan. A number of facts and a number of figures to get into. Number one, the Gophers and Michigan play for the Little Brown Drug. They've been playing for this since 1892. And most importantly, Michigan leads this series 75-26-3. They're both founding Big Ten members, so they're a part of the original Big Ten. The other thing to note, Ryan, is the Gophers are going into, you know, the end of, I shouldn't say the end of, but basically this is Big Ten play throughout for the remainder of the season with the exception of a bowl game. PJ Fleck stands at 27-27 in Big Ten play as he is now 1-1 in the season. We've talked numerous times about he is arguably the most successful coach in our lifetimes here in Big Ten play and just basically in college football in general here as he leads the University of Minnesota. So you got to find a way to continue to have that Big Ten success. Might not be this game, but it's important as the remainder of the season goes along. Additionally, if we
look... I just want to stop you there for a second. If I could. I feel like people are getting a little... They don't understand the history of Gopher football success in the Big Ten.
Because yeah, I don't think they do.
Tracy Clays was 6-8 in the Big Ten. Jerry Kill was 14-21, 7 games below 500. Brewster was a disaster. We all knew that. Glenn Mason, 16 games below 500. Jim Wacker, I mean, at 27-27, I mean, he is arguably the most successful Big Ten coach for the Golden Gopher football team in 52 years. I understand that you and I and Derek and other people will him and haw about missed opportunities. Yes, 100%. But I also got to make sure people don't lose sight of it's hard to win at this institution.
Yeah.
And 27-27. Yep. 500. Like that's good. There's a lot more meat left on the bone, but as we've seen folks, it could be exponentially worse.
Yeah, and you got to keep in mind too, his first season they were 2-7 in 2017, and then they were 3-6 his second season. I mean, mm-hmm. with the 2020 season, the COVID season, which is really weird, they're 3-4. He's been above 500 every other year. Obviously, the kind of the stalwart year was the 7-2 season in 2019. But yeah, in general, you have to admit that PJ Fleck has found success here at Minnesota, and more success than really anyone else. And you know, I get that Jim Harbaugh, you know, took quite a bit of heat early because he couldn't win the big game, right? But the reality is, he's now won the big game twice, and sometimes it takes time to get that footing down and establish your program. You know, I'm not ready to move on from PJ Fleck like somewhere after the Northwestern game. Yes, I criticize him because I talk about this and I look at it, try to look at it as objectively as possible. But I also am objective, saying like statistically, he's the best we've had in my lifetime and my dad's lifetime.
That's where, again, I see the tweets. I see all the listeners saying, Ryan, why is Minnesota keeping this quote unquote mediocre coach? Because there's been so many other ones that have been so, so much worse. The floor has been raised so much here. And I understand that people maybe are taking it for granted to an aspect. And both things can be true, Luke. You can be incredibly upset with the way that it went against Northwestern in that fourth quarter, because it was inexcusable amongst many other things. And it'll probably come back to haunt them, as Justin Gard tells me every night before I go to bed. He texts me saying, sleep tight, and Minnesota is going to regret losing to Northwestern in the fourth quarter. I don't disagree, but you can still also see the forest through the trees and say, this program's also in a spot where if they're in a quote-unquote down year, rebuilding year, we'll see what their record ends up being at the end of the season, but say it's 7 wins. If 7 wins is your floor, how many Gopher coaches in my lifetime since 1992, a floor season would be 2 or 3 wins? So it's just perspective. That's all I want to try and preach. I'm not saying I'm drinking the maroon and gold color Kool-Aid. I'm just telling you, you can be upset at him, but also realize how much the floor has also been raised.
All right, so let's continue on. If you're going to this game, it'll be Saturday, October 7th. Around kickoff, it should be about 50 degrees, as Ryan noted earlier.
Oh. Luke, are you gonna be hopping out in the duck blind? Come on. No, are you working truck this week?
Yeah, I'm gonna be helping out on the farm, so I'm gonna be listening to copyright you the dulcet tones of Mike Grimm and Daryl Thompson. I'll also stream it on my phone. I'll rewatch the game, the whole nine yards.
Are we through the beans yet? Or are we into the corn?
Oh no, we're mid beans right now, buddy. We're mid beans. We've had a couple good days. We got a little rain today, but we've had a couple good days here, and we're out of the seed beans. So we're ready to just plow ahead right now. So so it should be, weather wise, shouldn't be a big factor. It looks like a beautiful October night.
Nippy, which,
yeah,
if you couldn't tell, I am just to the moon that it's finally going to be a cold front. I can finally go hop in the deer stand.
We're literally
not 75 degrees, and I've got thermocell all around me.
We're literally we're literally recording this on a Tuesday night so that you can meet the cold front tomorrow in our normally recorded time. So,
No, I got some other things. I'm not going to be hunting tomorrow, but okay. Thursday, Friday, even potentially Saturday morning, because this is a night game. But I'll tell you this much, Luke, I feel very confident as we currently sit here that Friday morning when I'm in my best tree stand, because I'm going to fire my best bullet based on what I've seen off the trail cameras historically, I think my big shooter is going to show back up when this cold front comes through, because Wednesday, high of 70, Thursday, high of 63, Friday, 53 degrees, baby. Finally get my northwest wind. I am going, balls to the walls for this thing. I feel very confident I'm going to see a shooter on Friday.
All right, I'm ready.
Don't you love the early optimism part of the year? By the time we get to November, if I still haven't got my wall hanger yet, it's going to be, woe is me. But yeah. See, early season optimism.
Yeah,
go sit in a tree or go be in a duck blind.
Yeah, I am ready for my stick delivery. Just let me know when you got it ready for me, okay? Yeah. And then more importantly, when we look at this game, as we sit recording this on a later Tuesday evening, what I'm seeing right now is Michigan is favored by 19 with an over under of 46 right now, according to Caesars.
So they're thinking something, I mean, more or less 31-13, 33-13-ish, which, again, Michigan hasn't allowed, and we'll get into my keys to the game, they've allowed no more than 7 points in any game.
Yes.
So Vegas is giving Minnesota enough credit to say they're going to score double digits. But other than that, that's about all the credit they're giving them.
Yeah. So let's get into those keys to the game, Ryan, before we give our game predictions.
So my number one key for Minnesota's offense in this game, if Minnesota is going to have a shot at 9 p.m. to win this football game, offensively, Ethan Kaliak Manis in the passing game have to be efficient and explosive. But before I get into the offense specifically, let's dissect this Michigan Wolverine defense a little bit, because they've been absolute death on opponents so far. Luke talked about it a little bit earlier, but I'm just going to say it. Jim Harbaugh's team has allowed a grand total of 13 points in the first 45 minutes of their first five football games. They've allowed 17 garbage time points in the fourth. So we're talking about a defense that, when the starters have been in the game, they've allowed 2.6 points per game. Oh, is that all? Well, let me remind you that the Wolverines haven't allowed more than 7 points in any game thus far. And when you look at the advanced stats like Luke and I have, doesn't give much more hope. Michigan's defense in SP Plus, which is Bill Conley of ESPN's metric, they're currently number one in college football in defensive S&P, number one in college football in success rate allowed, number one in points allowed per drive, number one in drive score per drive, or drive score percentage allowed, a.k.a. drives with a touchdown or a field goal. They're second in red zone touchdown rate allowed. As Luke, this is a great stat for you. The Michigan Wolverine defense has been put into the red zone 8 times and only allowed 1 touchdown.
Oh, my goodness.
They are really good. And when you look at their personnel.
More credence to, like, you need explosive plays, fellas.
Yeah, you need to have explosive plays. And we look at their personnel. Oh, by the way, they have 14 different players on defense with a Pro Football Focus grade of over 70, meaning 14 different players on the defense. Obviously, you only start 11. 14 of them have a 70-plus grade, which 60 is average, 70 is good. So that's absurd. 14 different ones. In comparison, Minnesota's defense has only 5 above that same mark. I don't truly believe it's hyperbole to say this, but this might be the best defense that a Fleck offense has ever faced. Western Michigan, Minnesota, whatever it may be. So if the Gophers are going to have a shot at this little brown jug that they play for, you're going to have to find a way to get to that 20-point mark. And if that's going to happen, I have a much greater confidence of it occurring through the air than on the ground. Now, the Minnesota Moving Company, they've been much better since week one, but the advantage up front goes to Michigan's front seven. They're athletic, they're experienced, and they're physical. Even if Darius Taylor is able to play, I just think it's going to be a lot more difficult. It's going to be tougher sledding, per se, between the tackles. And the last place you want to be is behind the sticks against this defense. So a lot of this is going to rest on Greg Harbaugh. Now, I'll remind you, Jim Harbaugh and Greg Harbaugh may have the same lettering for the last name. They don't know each other. They're not related. They say enunciate their last names differently. But Harbaugh has got to get Ethan to play the game of his life. In Chapel Hill, there were a lot of you Gopher fans that watched it. You were either there on TV. You know that the shots were there from Harbaugh, but Ethan just didn't hit him. Now, they've taken more off his plate since then, and he's responded in the last 2 games with a 78% completion percentage, 4 passing touchdowns, and 1 pick. It's going to be easier said than done if Minnesota is going to execute these explosive plays, Luke, because close your ears, cover them up, put on the earmuffs. Minnesota ranks 116th in college football with only 10 completions of 20 or more yards, and close them even up a little bit more tight at night, because they are dead last in FBS football with 1 completion over 30 yards, which came on that 4th down conversion to Daniel Jackson last week. They're capable of doing it. And if Ethan's going to have a shot, his offensive line has to give him time to throw. But Daniel Jackson and Corey Crooms are going to have to come up big in one-on-one battles against the Michigan secondary. And it would also be really nice if Brevin Spanford could snap out of this early season funk. So let me be clear as I round off my offensive key. I'd be shocked if Ethan doesn't throw at minimum 25, likely above 30. But with how good that red zone defense has been, Luke, Harbaugh and company got to find a way to generate explosive plays. Defensively, I mentioned it earlier, but you got to bow up. You got to allow field goals and not touchdowns. Now, easier said than done, because Michigan's starters on offense, when they've been in the game in the first three quarters of each of the five games, they're just averaging over 10 points per quarter. Okay, why have they been so good? Because former top 50 overall prospect J.J. McCarthy has taken the next step. I mentioned it. He's the highest rated quarterback in both PFF's overall grade at 91.2 and passing grade of 90.4, which is just absurd. If you're a QBR person, more of an ESPN kind of a guy or gal, he's currently first there in QBR in all of college football. So if when he does throw the ball, get to know slot receiver Roman Wilson. He leads them in targets with 25. He's got 19 receptions as a team lead, 326 receiving yards. And oh, by the way, he's been absolutely lethal near the stripe. He leads all of college football with 8 receiving touchdowns in 5 games. The other Wolverine pass catchers combined have 3 receiving scores. So when they get near the red zone, McCarthy, when he goes play action or drop back, he's going to be looking for number one, Rowan Wilson. Now, the running game, Blake Corum, Donovan Edwards, they've been really, really good. So the Michigan offense has been efficient. They rank top 20 in EPA per pass, top 20 in EPA per run. And oh, by the way, they've also been outstanding on third down and fourth down this season. They're 56.7% success rate there on third and fourth down, just fourth in college football as an offense. So it comes down to this. You can't let them score touchdowns in the red zone. Minnesota's defense is about just above average in that regard. They're 59th in college football, as they've allowed only 57% of red zone possessions against them to result in a touchdown. Now, on the flip side of it, the Wolverine offense is currently 15th in college football when they get into the red zone. They're scoring a touchdown on 77% of their possessions. So if Rossi's defense allows more than 24 points in this game, it's going to be really tough for Minnesota to win. But if they can keep them in that 17 to 24 range, it's an attainable goal for Minnesota to pull off the shocker. But for that to happen, you've got to be very stout in the red zone. You got to keep Corum, Edwards, and Wilson in front of you, because if the explosive plays start to mount like they have in recent weeks, it's going to be really difficult to keep this game within an arm's length. And then finally, just in general for the head coach, throw the damn kitchen sink at Jim Harbaugh. Because if I'm Fleck to the team this week, I'd tell him, Vegas got you as a 3-touchdown underdog. Ain't nobody giving you a shot at this game.
Nothing to lose.
Come out loose. You got to play like you got nothing to lose. I mean, I'd almost hope that Minnesota's offensive staff is sitting there. They brought in a sandbox, hypothetically, into the office, and they're just drawing up plays in the sand. Like you're out at the schoolyard. Mm-hmm. Because you got to give Michigan's defense something they haven't seen yet. But the big key here is this, Luke. When the Gophers get the chance to take a deep shot, Callie McManus has got to hit it. And yep. He's got to hit it almost 100 out of 100 times. So if Minnesota gets 3, 4, 5, 6 chances at an explosive play, they have to hit every single one of them if they're going to have a shot in this game. So execute early on. Let the crowd get behind you. And let's see if this team can't pull off a 2019 Penn State.
All right. So, again, this game is on the 7th of October. It's on NBC and Peacock. You can finally watch the Gophers on Peacock for the very first time, if that is what you've been opining for all this time. This game will be at 6:30 p.m. Central Time. Again, the line is minus 19 in favor of Michigan. The over-under is 46 as we record right now. On the season, Ryan Burns, you are 2-3 on the over under.
What did we decide that the line was last week? Because I'm pretty sure
I had 11. Yep. And it was a push. So you're 2-3 on the over under.
We recorded, for the record, it was 11. I think it ended at like nine and a half.
Yep. Yep.
But it was a push for when we recorded.
So we, I track what it was when we record.
Okay.
And so against the over under, you're 2-3, and against the spread, you're 2-1. Conversely, with the over under, I am also 2-3, and I am 1-3-1 against the spread.
Hypothetically, people shouldn't be arguably doing the opposite of what we say.
Largely, yeah. I think yeah. So. I don't think we're terribly good at this betting thing. This is why we don't do it for a living. Again, -19 in favor of Michigan, over under a 46. I'll go first this time. I think Vegas largely has us pretty close. I do think that Michigan and just the script, I think they'll be very efficient. I think they'll follow the script. They'll score. I'm going to have them score 5 touchdowns. I think they'll win 35-10, Ryan. I'm just hopeful that I'm completely wrong, but I think unless the Gophers can find a way to turn the ball over, I think they're going to continue to do more of the same. And this game will probably be over before we know it, probably sometime in the early or late third quarter. And, you know, the fourth quarter, they're playing a lot of second stringers, and the Gophers probably get a late touchdown or something. But I'm hoping that's not the case, but I'll take Michigan 35-10. So I got that. So I got an under, but it's also Michigan covers.
I'm going to say Minnesota covers, because I'll say again, I understand that Michigan's probably the most complete and talented team that Minnesota's faced since at least 2018 Ohio State, if not in the Fleck era. But we've also seen that Fleck can get this team up for big home games like this. They kept it close, like I said, with Ohio State until Muhammad Ibrahim went down. They beat an undefeated Penn State team back in 2019. I think the atmosphere is going to be outstanding at Huntington Bank Stadium on Saturday night. I just don't see Minnesota playing their first true complementary football on offense, defense, and special teams against Michigan. At some point this season, you'd like to say they will. And I think many fans would say, well, if it's not this week, Ryan, I hope it's against those darn Iowa Hawkeyes in Kinnick Stadium.
Yeah.
You, me, both. I'm going to say it's close till the end of the third quarter. Michigan pulls away late because Minnesota's offense can't get enough going. Minnesota's defense just wears down. Number 2, Michigan 30, Minnesota 13. That is a Minnesota cover, and it's also an under.
So you got 30-13. I got 35-10. Yeah.
So we both have Minnesota beating the point total because, like I said, if Minnesota gets to 13 like I'm predicting – this is a Michigan starting defense that has allowed 13 total points through the first 5 games.
Right.
Now, Minnesota's able to hit that in this game. Look at us, silver linings. Now, yeah. It's ultimately, it doesn't matter. But again, if Minnesota's going to win this game, the 12% or whatever that our good friend, you know, at college
Parker
football,
Fleming.
Parker Fleming has out there. If Minnesota is going to hit in that 12%, like the advanced analytics would say, it's got to be low scoring. And you have to be rooting for the under because there's no way I see Minnesota putting up 28, 31, 34 points. It would be a 21-20, 21-17, 24-23 type of game.
Do you want to know, Ryan, what we predicted this before the season?
Sure.
Before the season, we were also very close too. We both had Michigan winning. You had 35-17, and I had, or you had 34-17. I had 35-17. So
we've downgraded our points for Minnesota's offense, which is kind of ironic
more or less.
Because Minnesota scored 30 plus points
the last two games.
Yeah, but this is also going to be the best defense that they play all season.
No question.
It's one of the best defenses, if not the best defense in college football right now. So. It just comes down to, can Minnesota hit the big plays? Can Minnesota's defense stop allowing big plays? Can they somehow find a way to make J.J. McCarthy turn over the football? I mean, if nothing else, folks, it's a beautiful fall night at Huntington Bank Stadium, and you get to watch if your Gophers aren't doing well, you at least get to watch one of the best teams in college football.
Yeah, and I want to echo one of the things you had, and whether I don't recall if it was your key to the game or not, but PJ Fleck has found a way in big games to really get the team to perform, especially at home. And arguably his biggest weakness is in games when they're favored, right? You know, he does well when he largely does well. And he said this in his opening press conference, he's got a chip on his shoulder when no one believes in him. Right. That is kind of his marquee. So hopefully we're wrong. I don't think we will be, but it should be a fun time regardless. I think the tailgating is going to be, elite, as PJ would say. And most importantly, you know, enjoy the experience, win, lose, or draw. Again, we are really excited to partner with Team Dinkytown Real Estate Group. This is a real estate group that has numerous years of experience, and they have already sold their first home, where a portion of the proceeds of their commission goes to Dinkytown athletes and basically the sport of their choice. Ryan, this isn't a small donation. It was over $4,000 goes to Dinkytown athletes. It's just an awesome, very innovative idea from Team Dinkytown Real Estate Group.
Correct. And so that's where $4,000 went to Dinkytown athletes. They sold this house for, I believe, over $40,000 over market price. So you have a group really good at selling houses, really good at buying houses. They're selling for over market price, and you can help your favorite Gopher team of choice with Dinkytown athletes. Seems like a win-win to me at teamdinkytown.com, Luke.
Again, you can reach out to them at teamdinkytown.com. Additionally, if you want to call them, 612-250-8562. Again, Dinkytown or dinkytown.com. All right, let's talk a little bit about this Big Ten slate, Ryan. We're back to Friday night games featuring the Nebraska Cornhuskers in the Illinois Fighting Illini. This game will be on FS1 at 7 p.m. Central for those who are wanting to tune in. Currently, the over-under is 43 with the Illini at home favored by 3.5.
This is how far Illinois has come down. Peace and love if you're somehow a Husker fan that stumbled into this podcast. But Nebraska is just not a good football team right now. And Illinois had expectations before this season, and now they're below 500. They're 0-2 in the Big Ten. They're facing a team that has not really done anything of late. I mean, they're trying to figure out, and you just got boat raced by Michigan, not saying that Minnesota can't have that happen to them as well, but you're essentially a pick-em with Illinois at 3.5. It's just... I mean, Vegas thinks this thing's going to be somewhere on 24-20. I think that might be giving Nebraska's offense too much credit, but also Illinois' defense has just been a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this is going to be incredibly interesting for a Friday night game on FS1.
All right, so let's move to the Saturday slate. The 11 o'clock game on Fox will feature Maryland against number 4 Ohio State. I said this on the breakdown, Ryan. How in the world is Maryland not ranked? I just think it's an absolute catastrophe.
But a two-loss LSU team is.
Yeah, of course. Of course they are. I mean, I don't get it.
Weird.
Yeah, who knows, right? Okay, the over-under for this game, and if you like points, folks, this is the game to watch. 57.5. For the over-under, and Ohio State is favored by 20, which really shocked me.
Vegas is giving Ohio State a lot more credit, and they're saying, Mike Locksley, let's see you prove it in Columbus, which, I mean, I get, but I also...
Is it possible?
I'll say, I'm not as bullish, and I haven't been all year long. We'll see if it comes back with egg on my face with it, Luke. But I'm just not that bullish on Ohio State is the Ohio State of old. Like, they've looked fine.
Yeah.
But I don't know that they've looked good enough to say they should be a 3-touchdown favorite in this game.
Yeah. You know, like in the past, you know, when they came into Huntington Bank Stadium and CJ Stroud was a freshman, right? Now he's balling out in the NFL. It honestly just felt like they were just an avalanche at almost any moment with an explosive play, right? Whether that was Travion Henderson, whether that was Chris Olave. I mean, I still know they have Marvin Harrison Jr., et cetera, but my goodness, like it doesn't feel quite like the same, and they still might find that rhythm, but right now it just doesn't feel that way when you watch them, that at any moment they're going to break it.
Yeah, so I'm. This will be one that, if and when I get out of the tree or I got something on Saturday morning before I head down to the stadium, I will be flopping back and forth between this game on Fox and the other one that coming up on your favorite Peacock.
I do love to like announce when there are Peacock games, mostly because at least on Twitter people get annoyed. I haven't signed up for it yet. I will, especially with the amount of basketball games that are going to end up being on Peacock. And you know how much I love college basketball. But yeah, Rutgers is going to face Wisconsin at Wisconsin. This is another 11 a.m. kick. This one's going to be on Peacock, so a lot of people might not get to see it if they haven't signed up yet. I was a little bit surprised, Ryan. The over
under, this line shocks me.
It does. Me too. The over under is 44.5, and Wisconsin is favored by 2 touchdowns.
Like literally 2 touchdowns at 14. I could have understood 9 or 10. 14 to me is way too high. Vegas thinks this game is going to be somewhere on 28 to 14. Now, I understand Wisconsin got a bye week to prepare, but are we sure that Wisconsin's that much better at home?
Especially without Chez Malusi, right?
Yeah. Like, I understand Tanner Mordecai and Braylon Allen are very talented players. But to me, this game just screams something around 20 to 10,
yeah,
20 to 13, either way. Like, if Rutgers wins this game straight up, that wouldn't surprise me. Because I really don't think Wisconsin is that much better than Rutgers. This will be one I am going to be very, very interested to see.
I think it's a barometer game for, one, the Big Ten West, and then it's also a barometer game for Rutgers, right? Rutgers is trying to chase bowl eligibility. I think they're better than they're given credit for at this juncture. But I do think it's a barometer game for both the Big Ten West and Rutgers.
Like, Rutgers, I understand. Like, Rutgers has played a couple of Power 5 opponents. Like, they beat Northwestern by 17. They beat Virginia Tech by 20. Like, they beat Temple by 30. Like, this, I understand it's going on the road and that's a challenge. But, like, this line, and we'll come back and talk about it Sunday, and if I got egg on my face, I got egg on my face. But this one just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah. Okay. At 2 o'clock on BTN is going to feature Northwestern playing host Howard.
Why is the game at 2 p.m.?
I don't know. It's
the only BTN game on the day.
Yeah.
Why 2 p.m.?
I'm not sure. It's a 2 p.m. game. There's no line because it's Howard. I do expect Northwestern to win this game. I don't know what more we need to say. Yeah, I think the 2 p.m. thing's interesting.
Yeah, the 2 p.m. thing's weird. I got no thoughts on Northwestern, Howard.
All right, and then the final game, again on Peacock, a 2:30 game will feature the Purdue Boilermakers going into Iowa. And if you are an Iowa fan, you have to be thinking to yourself, thank goodness David Bell is no longer playing for Iowa.
And it's going to be the first game of the Deacon Hill era.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
Unfortunately for Hawkeye fans, Cade McNamara is out for the season with that lower leg injury. That sucks. I know how much that collective spent on him to come over and kind of be the savior for Michigan. By all standards, seems like a great kid, and it sucks to see him go down.
Especially with the injuries at Michigan, too, right? So, yeah, you really feel for him.
Yeah, it stinks, and I feel for him, but what does it look like? Because Iowa's offense wasn't already good. They can't run the football. They can't seem to find the resemblance of a receiver, and the receivers can't catch the ball consistently. It's going to be death taxes, and Brian Ferentz has a great opening script, and then the rest of the game's trash. I've been told by those that watch the Vikings more than I do, it's called the Brad Childress. But this line is only 2.5.
Yeah,
and I understand that Purdue's coming off a big win last week against Illinois, but this also just tells you where the Big Ten West is right now.
Yeah.
No one's really that much better than anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
And just because, and to me, this game being in Kinnick, huge advantage, because we always know that Iowa just seemingly plays so much better in Kinnick than other places.
Yeah.
And so it's going to be, to me, I think Iowa's probably going to try to lean on that running game a little bit more. Now, that Purdue defense isn't very good. But it's just, this is the state of the Big Ten West when a 4-1 Iowa team is only a 2.5-point favorite against a 2-3 Purdue team. It's just,
It's interesting. I neglected to mention the over under is 38.5 as we record now.
So Vegas thinks something along the lines of 21-17
Iowa. Yeah. Yep. It's
I mean, Iowa offense, like it has been the last X amount of years, is must watch every week because those fans just hate themselves so much. And then they'll just get bailed out by a Cooper DeJean touchdown, a LeVar Woods blocked field goal or punt return,
yeah,
a Sebastian Castro pick six. It's just the way it goes. I mean, I'm not here to tell you it's a fluke because it just happens year after year after year after year after year after year. I mean, I can keep going for the next 30 seconds if people want to realize that too.
I don't need to listen to that
Brian
anymore.
Brian Ferentz, my boy. That contract is going to be a lot harder with Wisconsin's former third string. We'll see.
Yeah.
See how it all looks.
It should be interesting. It's a fun slate. I think most people would say it's kind of a down slate, but I think there's some interesting matchups for sure. And I think it's maybe time to sign up for Peacock for me this weekend, Ryan, so I can get a view of a couple of these games. So I'll let everybody know the experience that I have and what I think of the service as we break it down.
Gopher versus Iowa game also going to be on Peacock?
The Gophers do have, I think, one Peacock game this year, but like I do want to see some of the Rutgers and Wisconsin game. I also want to see some of this Purdue and Iowa game. So I'm going to have to sign up this weekend if I'm going to be able to see those in real time streaming them from the tractor. So
I would also say, if you haven't already and you're curious, what does Coy Parrish think of that USC offer, or who's Minnesota got coming into the game this weekend? 2 months for $1 right now on GopherIllustrated.com. 60 days for a 100 pennies, 10 dimes, 20 nickels, $1. If you've always wanted to get behind the paywall and ask me or Ryan James a question, read the threads. Luke, I'm looking at it right now. I hadn't noticed this. The Ask Ryan Burns Anything thread now has over 4 million views.
People really
4 million views.
People really value your opinion. And if you join, maybe check out the ticket exchange, and maybe there'll be some Michigan tickets available there last minute. That's often why I check. So go definitely be a GI member. Again, we want to thank everybody for listening. We appreciate all those sponsors that make this podcast possible. Please support them. Again, thank you for listening, and go Gophers.